Well, can I interrupt you to introduce my show today?
Sure, you can do that.
I'm going to be talking with someone who runs a homeless shelter here in Charlottesville, and then a little bit later, talking to someone who knows how to find really good bargains at stores like Salvation Army and Goodwill and fixing up furniture and things so that people who are like trying to start over in their life can get a really good start.
That's great.
Yeah, and it made me think of you. What?
That's really great.
Well, thank you. It made me think of you because I know you started over with me when I was little.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at first you and my dad ran away together and got stuck where?
In what? In Pennsylvania?
Yeah. What happened then?
Dad died.
And so what did you ran away together to get away from everyone and everything. How old were you?
23.
And so you got stuck in Pennsylvania. What did you have with you at the time?
Just clothes.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you make it?
We did have shampoo.
Wow.
Because we took showers in the Delaware Water Gap.
Oh, man. All right.
Not showers, baths, and washed our hair.
Yeah, well, somehow you made it because you're in a house now.
Yep.
But it was a difficult time getting there. I mean, my father died when I was 3 months old, and you had to start over again and go all the way back home with a new baby and get yourself an apartment.
We lost everything in the flood in Pennsylvania in 1971.
Yeah. So you're who comes to mind when I think of starting over, Mom, because you've done it like so many times. And I don't know how you did it, how you got yourself the courage to do it. I guess maybe just by necessity. But, man, I appreciate everything you've done.
Well, you gave me the coverage when you were a baby.
Oh, thank you. All right, well.
I had to do it for you.
Well, I appreciate that you did that. I think I turned out really well, and it's because you kept going. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, well, I need to get into the show. Can you introduce me?
Sure. All you people on the internet are listening to my daughter, Wendy Edwards. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mom. I love you.
Love you, too.
Today on WendyEdwards.com, we're going to interview Colleen Keller, Executive Director of PACHM, and explain what PACHM is and what they do for the city of Charlottesville and the area's homeless. Also, we'll interview Carrie Oliva, who is the owner of Buy Carrie Handmade Goods. And we got some CDs to give away. You're going to name my podcast. We've got so much going on, and I can't wait to get started. WendyEdwards.com and the Charlottesville Podcasting Network have brought you The Wendy Edwards Show.
You're listening to Wendy's Podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
With me is Colleen Keller, the Executive Director for People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry. Around Charlottesville, folks know the organization by its acronym, PACHM. And could you confirm with me you've been in this ministry for 7 years, PACHM has?
The shelters have been open for 7 years. I've been there. This will be my second season.
All right. And it's called a last resort shelter, consisting of congregational and community volunteers that ensure homeless individuals receive a warm meal, a shower, clean clothes, and they're able to bed down at night in a warm place through the winter months.
Right. I mean, it's an emergency shelter, last resort for people who have no other choices. And it operates in church buildings with the help of a lot of volunteers.
That's excellent. I've actually volunteered for PACHM in the past.
You
and I
said
can say,
that.
Yeah, I can say it's an amazing ministry. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. For now, I'd like to understand what is a last chance shelter and, you know, what are the other organizations out there that people try first?
Right. So the last resort idea is you have nowhere else to go. I mean, you're standing there with no other options. So oftentimes, people have suddenly become homeless. Last year, particularly, incredible amounts of people coming in for eviction. Mm. Loss of housing. I mean, you become unemployed, you lose your housing. Maybe you're on the wait list for public housing, and you've been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Often, you can't qualify for another shelter, the Salvation Army or the She Shelter, because you don't meet a requirement that they have for
right.
the shelter, like sobriety or currently working. We have a fair amount of people who maybe are sober for a period but fall out of that, mm-hmm. and then you would fall out of that program. For She Shelter, you do have to be under imminent threat. So for a lot of homeless women, it's not imminent, okay. even though it may have been in the past.
Right.
And then, you know, there are other structured programs like the Morehouse. There's transitional housing, which is a good option, but a very limited supply.
So who would end up at Pacham? Who would be at your door saying, you know, got no place to go? Who would you open your arms to no matter what?
The founding idea of Pacham is that we open our arms to anybody, no matter what, is a great way to say it. I mean, we don't screen. So you got out of jail and you have nowhere to go. Certain types of felons cannot get into some jail reentry housing. Mm-hmm. They're very likely to come in. An alcoholic who has not been able to or ready to go to detox mm-hmm. or has fallen out of a detox program is very likely to come. And as I said, people who've been evicted, people who've maybe you've been struggling with some challenges and staying with a family or a friend
right.
for 6 months or a year, and they can't handle it anymore, or their lease doesn't allow you to stay there. In this kind of economy, that's particularly pertinent because a lot of leases don't allow. They have a limit on how many people can reside there.
Right.
So you can survive for a while sleeping on your friend's couch. But then if you're unable to kind of pull up your boots and...
Or you might outstay your welcome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Particularly if you have addiction issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... The interesting thing about it is really all sorts of things. We have a lot of vets. We have often people that look just like you and me. I mean, you would not identify them as homeless. They're there by circumstance crisis, not by the fact of being chronically homeless is about a third. It's a little bit higher this year, but it's between 30 and 40%.
Okay. So that image we get of homeless people that we're conditioned to think about, like a guy that's like down on his luck Joe, he's got a week's worth of smell on him, he's clutching a brown paper bag, or he's looking for a dirty needle, or he's talking to himself.
Right.
That's a very small percentage of the people that you see.
Yes. Really, chronic has never become much more than a third. I think if you think about this, a homeless person isn't a kind of person. It's a living situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually look like anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a crisis. And particularly, I think, to Charlottesville, and it's important to people who live here. This is an extraordinarily generous town.
Absolutely.
Pacham exists because these churches are so generous. And I mean, this is not a city shelter, although we got a little support. You know, this is a privately run shelter. Just pretty amazing. So on the whole, when you see homeless people here, you do not see emaciated people.
Right.
Actually not at all. Without clothing, there's a fantastic food network through
mm-hmm.
the soup kitchens. So you can eat here. We have clothing vouchers. There's a couple of churches who run very great clothing stores, the Salvation Army. So
right.
you can be clothed, well-fed.
And clean.
And clean. Absolutely clean. I mean, the Haven's open now, and they have showers, and they have lockers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's added to that support system. So... I will tell you, we struggle. We don't have as many beds as we'd like to have this year in particular. But in general, I think in this town, the homeless they maybe don't get enough help getting out of homelessness,
mm-hmm.
but they are well fed and clothed and embraced by the community. They're not living on the outskirts.
No, and there's something to be said about embracing the homeless. I think that we've seen through that viral video that spread through YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Ted Williams, the guy with the golden voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look how quickly people saw this man trying to get out of a situation where he didn't want to be. And we all kind of understood that he was down on his luck or, you know, just couldn't get up from where he was at. And he put it out there that he wanted to. And it was like the entire nation just swept him up. And
right.
wanted to give him a chance.
Right.
And to me, that's a great representation of the hope that we have here in America, not just Charlottesville.
No, I think it's true. And I think you volunteered. I mean, what the volunteers in the shelters say,
mm-hmm.
and it's a big number. I mean, it's about 3,000 a year. Everyone has this experience where you sit down to eat dinner with them
mm-hmm.
and you have this sort of raw feeling that this person is just like you.
Yes. You make a huge connection.
Right.
Yeah,
and so you
connection.
Have that, realize that. People get stuck,
mm-hmm.
but I think it makes it easier for you to embrace them because they're just like you. Or
right.
I know I often find even a severe alcoholic, it is frightening sometimes what drove them to that. Because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem from the outside that terrible. But for whatever reason, it became an obstacle that you could not climb over.
Right.
And then led to addiction, which is a really difficult thing
right.
to climb over. So I think embracing, I hope we never become a kind of place where there's a giant shelter 15 miles outside of town. I mean, I think it's really important that we all...
I can't see that happening in Charlottesville.
No, I don't either.
Especially if you do volunteer with PogChem, as I have in the past a couple of times. You know, once you get an understanding of what it's about and what these people go through and why you're there to help them,
right.
I think that you can't help wanting to continue to do that. And really, you know, for those who can get on their feet, help them move in that direction. Now, that brings me to something else I was thinking about. You said that people come there and there's a pillow for every head when they lay down for the night, or you're trying to get a pillow for every head right now. But for other people, PogChem is a first step on a path for self-sufficiency. And I wanted to get an understanding of what directions PogChem helps people take, what resources are available to people who are in that situation who want to get out. And we'll be back in just a moment with your answer.
You're listening to Wendy's Podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
We're back on the Wendy Edwards Show, and I'm talking with Colleen Keller. She is the executive director of PogChem, people and congregations engaged in ministry here in Charlottesville. And one of the questions I had for Colleen was that when people who come to PogChem for the night decide they want to get back on a road to recovery, they want to, you know, get back with their families, or they want to start a new job, they want to start, you know, getting employment and housing for themselves, how can PogChem set them up? Is there a direction that you put them in? Are there resources for people here in Charlottesville?
So PogChem is really the first step. The idea being, you cannot begin to help people move forward if they're on the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. So the idea, the actual shelters of PogChem were born out of this big community group and meetings in 2004, which decided that was the one thing the community needed to do first. And the idea of it was born. And so it is a very critical first step, because I think you have to feel safe and to open up enough. And
right.
I know that we find after a month or two of a shelter season, you begin to have a relationship with everyone who's staying in PogChem.
Right.
But it takes time. And someone described it to me as though when you camp, you know, in a tent and you hear all these noises at night, and after four or five nights of being startled and being afraid, say particularly of something like a bear,
right,
your own barriers grow up. So that drops down. What we do, and this is a double-edged sword, there are things that we do and then there are things we realize are an immense challenge.
Okay.
When you come to stay at PogChem, you sign in. And what we're doing at sign in is learning about you, why you're there, what sort of addiction you have, what sort of resources you have. I mean, family, disability income, food stamps,
right.
VA qualifications. So that sign in has a bunch of purposes, but one of the primary ones is to get a little bit of a picture of you as the person who came needing shelter.
Okay.
We then have one person who works part-time.
Okay.
And she meets with all of the individuals who stay in our shelters. So if you can picture this, this one person works with 60 people at a time.
I was thinking probably about 60 people a night.
So it's a difficult, I will tell you this year, as of December, we'd had 155 people come through. So that's how many people she's seen multiple times.
Wow.
What she is doing is for each person, we're saying, what's one thing you can do to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are simple, but a lot of them are connecting with VA benefits.
Right.
Can you save any money? I mean, even if you're getting disability, you can save some money. It's the habit that'll get you back in an apartment. Right now, we're really talking about, okay, you 10 people housing applications. How many? And housing applications are 10 or 15 pages. They can't fill them out. We got to fill them out with them.
Right.
Or use volunteers.
Well, they're complicated.
No, no, they're complicated. They require actually a pretty high amount of literacy.
Yeah.
Knowledge
of that literature, not just literacy, but what they're saying in the contracts. I mean, sometimes I need help understanding what it means.
I do too.
Yeah.
So we work with everybody. We call this advocacy.
Okay.
And we do it. I'm sure you can just appreciate on the surface the amount of people she's trying to work with is phenomenal. And she's a pretty tough girl.
I was going to say, she sounds phenomenal. What's her name?
Well, then there have been, in the past, this was Adriana Nicholson. She
okay.
did it for years, 5 years at PogChem, which was unbelievable.
Yeah,
if you think about it.
I really enjoyed Adriana.
It's now a woman named Sina McGill.
Okay.
Who has a lot of mental health experience. And Adrian has taken some time off.
Okay.
And I think that's probably good.
Yeah.
So I think our hope is we do try, and we're increasingly trying to focus on people that can move forward. It has never been Potjam's goal to grow.
Right.
And
you wanted,
we don't
want
people
smaller.
To become
yeah.
the Potjam's residents. Right.
Right.
We want to kind of work ourselves out of existence. So
right.
we do this. We are small, and we're primarily a shelter.
Right.
And so I think as a community, we're facing this thought about what does it take to move people beyond homelessness? And it takes a lot of case management and a lot of energy. And I think it's going to take more. I mean, unless Potjam becomes a significantly larger organization,
mm-hmm.
it's going to take more of this coming from other places. I mean, it's kind of like social services for the homeless.
Right. But there's a way that I think as a community, we can organize each of our strengths and
right.
then create a venue for people to join in and say, I want to change my life.
Yes, we don't want to replace. I mean, there's other people who do that, but how do we just help know what skills people have? And if there are people within our shelter system or the community
right.
that can employ them, and how does that work? I mean, how do we make sure they're sober and they have transport and all those mechanics?
Right.
So a lot of what Potjam is and what this advocacy is a connector to other things in the community, because we are trying really hard not to add
mm-hmm.
more
right.
to ourselves,
right.
but to link
because
to...
it doesn't make sense to. That would just add more, you know,
no,
tax dollars and everything
well,
else.
No,
when we
and
have
I think,
very
right.
capable organizations all around us, we just
yes.
need to pull together our strengths.
Yes, and I think now, I mean, and we've seen in the last year, the Havens opened up, and this organization, TJAC, which we're part of, which is a coalition, is sort of really coming to life, and that's more daytime work.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of promise there, and it's in the formation. But yes, I mean, I would agree. And the Potjam, their board has been very good about, they don't long to be big or
yes.
have a high profile. They're just trying to solve a problem.
Well, they may not have a high profile, but they do have a generous heart as
oh,
an organization.
Oh, incredibly.
And they're very well known for that.
When I think they have a huge, they provide an invaluable community, the safety net for the community. And whether you go, whatever church you go to, or if you don't go at all, to see these churches come together and mobilize behind this issue
mm-hmm.
is incredible. And I mean, there's a lot of, quite a few, there are churches without buildings that have played a very big part this year. And not just churches, the synagogue was a shelter site this year for the first time.
Wonderful.
So all sorts of, you know, people from the community too, but it's a very good organizing force.
And so I want to know what lies behind your commitment to the organization. What motivates you to make the decisions that you do to be sure that Charlottesville has a pillow for every head? And is there a personal story there?
So normally, I think what you might imagine and is true of a lot of people who work on our shelter staff is that they have actually had some time
mm-hmm.
with homelessness
okay.
or with addiction.
How about you?
No.
You haven't?
No.
So how did this happen for you?
So I'm maybe a bit of a strange combination, but I hope a good one. I went to the Darden School. I have an MBA.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, my professional life has been split half between corporate America, including Wall Street, and then the later half in nonprofits.
Okay.
And so for 10 years, I worked for a variety of nonprofits, mostly doing consulting. And I think we've been in Charlottesville for 5 years. At some point, to me, I looked out and you think, one, I should work for one here. And I really wanted to work for someone who is very small
mm-hmm.
and very committed to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So not being...
Do one thing well.
One thing well and
yeah.
one thing that the community really, really needs. So in a way, it's simple
mm-hmm.
and you don't get caught up in becoming big or having a high profile. I mean, it's something that is very rewarding to work at. I will tell you, it's harder than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Some experience in homelessness might be useful, I have to say, you know, mm-hmm. having done it. It's hard. The last resort thing is hard. You
okay.
know, I mean, we have to work on people to constantly push them on, and we don't want to house people who are eligible for the Salvation Army.
Right.
Because a more structured program will move them on. So there's a lot of decision making around the shelters that and around individuals that is painful, and sometimes help is it's not the easy thing. It's a tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so those moments are, I would say, harder.
You mean when it's hard to just go ask for help in the first place, only to be told this is not the place for you?
Yes. And I mean, a great example is that we've had a gentleman who has a pretty been able to begin to have a pretty good income. And I mean, in the last couple of weeks, we've sat down with him and we told him, you've got to start saving, mm-hmm. you know, 2-3 months. And now we've sort of said to him, you have saved enough and you may not have found the apartment of your dreams, but you've got to move into one.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's hard. He doesn't want to. Maybe you're afraid.
Well,
but
I'm sure.
We're holding him back mm-hmm. if we keep him in the shelters. Mm-hmm. And we got people on the street that need his back. I mean,
right.
but it was a very hard. This is someone, you know, that I know,
right.
that you like, that you've become friends
from
with.
With them. Yeah.
And that's pushing. So I think it's the right thing to do. But those on a personal level, I mean, Pacham is very small. I'm the only full time employee.
Right.
We have 2 part time employees and then we have the shelter staff. But it's not the case where I have an office job.
Right.
And it's all fundraising. You're very involved in, I mean, maybe more than one ought to be, but, you know, in the people and the shelter operations. And so there's a very personal, I don't want to say agonizing, but sometimes emotionally wrenching part of this job.
Right.
And for the winter, it's 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's during the night. So I think I said to you this morning, I don't always answer my phone like 9 and 11. It's relentless. You know,
right.
I mean, we don't close. People get sick. People on the staff get very tired. And the churches do a lot of work. You know, they need the support. So it just, it's a big season in the
winter.
And it's
a tough season.
Yes.
So convince me why you're still there.
Well, because
I
will tell you a couple reasons. I mean, first of all, I really do think we have got, I mean, as a country, we've gone through, I mean, I've lived overseas, you know, I have an MBA, you have all these great jobs. And at some point you just think, I'm almost 50 years old. I live in this town.
Mm-hmm.
So do something for this town that mm-hmm. I live in. And for me, that's a huge part of it. And Pacham's an incredibly peacekeeping organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Dave Norris was. To come behind someone like that
mm-hmm.
is a good personal challenge and a pleasure. That's a rare thing to come into something that is just so good.
Right.
And so willing to just try and help.
Mm-hmm.
Those, for me, are really, I think, the two primary things. And also, I mean, we're an extraordinarily wealthy country,
mm-hmm.
and it just seems possible that we don't have people living on the street.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it just seems like, why would you not try and help with this? Now, it's more complicated than I knew, the permanently getting people off the street.
It is more complicated
right.
because personalities, addictions, disorders come into
yeah.
play. However, you know, with involvement from other organizations, we can still ensure
right.
that those
Absolutely.
People don't have to live out in the cold.
Well, no, and I think what you said, too, is part of what makes it worth doing is just that, doesn't this seem possible?
Like,
I mean, it actually seems like something, if you work on it, it really is possible. And I think we all would like living in a community where you feel like you took care of everyone.
Now, in the beginning of the year, you sent out a packet of information to Pacham families, and I went through that. I saw that you outline policy and procedure
mm-hmm.
That comes along with a letter from you as the executive director, which I feel was warmly written
mm-hmm.
and also professional. And you expressed gratitude for the people that are out there volunteering all the time. And when I read the greeting, "Dear Pacham families," I couldn't help but wonder if you could write a letter to the families that Pacham serves, the people who bed down at night, who might not know what an outpouring of love Pacham's volunteers have for them. What would you write to them? And I will give you a chance to think about that. We'll take a break and play Hunter Smith and the Dead Men right now on WendyEdwards.com.
Lay there until the phone call wake me. I'm a star. What does it feel like to love a star? Maybe I will learn to love you more. When I don't feel so damn alone. When I wake up, I can barely breathe. But I roll over when you're gone, just a smile of sheets. See, I'm not soulless, just a little cold. If I could be more honest, I promise you I would. Though it may seem like I don't notice when you're dead, it kills me when you're not. I swear that maybe I will always be a star. Maybe I will always be a star. Maybe I will learn to love you.
This is the fifth track on the CD, Empty Promises, by Hunter Smith and the Dead Men Stoned, on the tentatively named Wendy Edwards Show. A little bit later in the podcast, I'm going to solicit your help to decide on a permanent name for my show, and I'll point you to my Facebook and my Twitter accounts where you can submit your ideas. At this moment, I'm in the studio with Colleen Keller. Colleen is the executive director of PACHM, People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry, whose slogan is A Pillow for Every Head. Colleen, before the break, I asked if you were going to write a letter to dear PACHM families and directed it to the men and women who stay in PACHM shelters on winter nights. What would it say?
So I think it would say, Dear Mary, shall we say, I mean, we are grateful to have had you stay with us. Regardless of why you came to PACHM, they are part of the PACHM family. The letter you read is to all of our volunteers. But on the same side, this letter would be that you are part of your family and we're grateful to have had a winter or a month, whatever it was, to get to know you. And to say that we hope that the time that you spent with us made your life easier in some way and opened the door to begin to move on. And that we'll always be here, you know, and consider you part of the family. But that our one wish for you is that you will begin to move forward and perhaps no longer need us. I do think.
Okay, my eyes are watering.
But I think they will tell you, people who stay in PACHM shelters, they know people love them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do feel, because sometimes at the end of the season, especially some of the men will actually cry. I mean, they do know that people cared and people let them into their churches. That's a very personal thing. It's like opening your home.
Mm-hmm.
They see them making dinner. I mean, people get them long underwear. So I think they feel that. I think that sometimes they don't know that we are doing it in the hopes that this is a first step.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it's just something we're beginning to work on, is that we are here for you, but we're here for you because we really do believe that you will one day not need us.
Yeah, survive and succeed in your own way.
Yes, no, whatever that is. And I mean, I will say I do know that people who, I'm thinking of someone who's staying with us now, and he has been here for most of the season. He worked 5 days a week. He is so discouraged. I mean, I was saying to him, how are the housing applications? Well, I haven't done them yet. And he's in a place where he's become so discouraged with himself for being in a shelter that he's maybe stopped being able to see that he is definitely able to move on. But it just made me realize, like with him, we need to be careful. To us, he looks like he's doing extremely well, and perhaps on paper.
But emotionally, he's not doing
well. No, because he's beating himself up for being in the shelter.
Yeah. And I mean, he's clean. How can you move on when every day you're doing that to yourself?
Yeah.
You don't
see. It's back to your hope.
Possibility that other people around you will see. We all do that in our own lives.
Yes. Yeah. And it's more profound if you feel embarrassed that you came to have to be in a homeless shelter.
I can see how that would be. All right. Well, it's been my pleasure to talk with you. I want to ask you real quickly about upcoming events for PACHM, if there's anything that people need to be aware of or volunteer positions available now.
Oh, that's a good question. We don't have events much during the winter.
Okay, because you're busy.
It's crazy. Over Christmas, we had this great thing, the Christmas Angels, and I cannot tell you how many community groups. You're always afraid to list them, but very many. BB&T is coming to my mind, amongst others, Fresh Fire, that came in and did food. It was incredible. Made dinner and volunteered in the sites. And that was an enormous undertaking over the Christmas weeks. In the spring, we will have a big, big volunteer appreciation. We won't really have another event per se until probably in the summer.
Okay.
So as things go on now, what we have is a lot of, I mean, people donate first aid supplies, you know, aspirin, Benadryl, cough syrup.
Those are all helpful right now.
Those are really helpful. Sharps, boxes, needle disposal, you know, things like that.
Where can they bring them?
They can actually bring them to the Haven at 112 West Market Street. We have an office upstairs.
Okay.
And they can just mark them for PACHM. You know, we're thinking about starting a pennies for PACHM. You know, like pennies for peace.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we're pretty efficient. You know, we have a pretty low budget, but financial support is valuable. And it's really going to the shelter staff and transporting people from downtown to the shelter. So
maybe that if people collect pennies in jars, they can bring their jars by.
It's great.
And those will go for pillows.
We have tons of, you know, $25 donors. And it does matter. I mean, it really does matter. That goes a long way toward taking someone off the street. Sheets are useful. You know, twin sheet sets. So we don't do too many events, but all these little things. I just talked at the Catholic school and the kids collected a lot of toiletries and it was great. It came at where we have had a off and on again overflow shelter opening when it's really cold. And so they went right over there.
Well, I have to say that I'm really glad to be a part of the community of Charlottesville because I know firsthand the support that came out for PACHM. And I know that PACHM will be a success in making sure that there is no one who has to stay out in the cold in the winter months, and hopefully we'll get on their own in some form. And I mean, I realize there are people who may never have their own homes. They may never have an apartment.
Right.
They may need, you know, care from a facility for the rest of their lives, but let's get them the care that they need so that they don't have to sleep in the woods.
Right.
And I appreciate that PACHM is there for that. Now, could you share your website with us?
www.pachamshelter.org.
Now, how do you spell PACHM? Because I think that can be confusing.
What is an acronym, it also means peace. So if you hear, I didn't take Latin, I'm embarrassed to say, but if you hear someone who has taken Latin say that word, PACHM, it's a two-syllable word and it's beautiful. You know, it's part of the old Latin language in a Catholic mass. And it means, it's part of an expression that means, essentially, let there be peace.
Oh.
So it's a beautiful word if
it's
you hear someone more linguistic.
Touching.
Yeah, so it's an acronym, but it's also a word within a Latin phrase.
Yeah.
So PACHM, P-A-C-E-M.
And the website is?
www.pachamshelter.org.
Thanks to Colleen Keller, the executive director of PACHM, for coming in and talking with us today. Still to come, we are going to speak with Carrie Oliva of buycarrie.com. She's coming in to share some really cool finds with us and how you can make your home a place you truly love. You know, I need a name for my podcast. I've gone over it, and I've thought of The Wendy Show, and a couple of friends have come up with some names, but nothing's really clicking for me. And it could be that I come back to just The Wendy Edwards Show. But I don't know. I want your input. If you could find me on Twitter at Wendy Time, tell me what you want the Wendy Show to be called. And I'll consider it. And I might even put a poll up where everybody can vote. But go to Twitter, Wendy Time. Find me there and tell me what to name my podcast. All right, we're going to give away two CDs for Hunter Smith and the Dead Men. And right now you get a taste of them on WendyEdwards.com.
I can feel the change. Like something's coming to take my place. I know we have to face this, but do we race this? We'll have to see. I'm nothing more than the sum of all my horrible mistakes. But if I'm the man I need to be, then they had to be made. I can still feel the taste. Seem to get it off my brain. It's only been a week, but the thirst won't go away. I'm nothing more than the sum of all my horrible mistakes. But if I'm the man I need to be, then they had to be made. But that's no excuse, that's no reason that we shouldn't try. Shouldn't make things the best we can. Cause they're all gonna change. I saw her sleeping next to me. Seen her doing a couple of things. But I just walked outside. I could force the change as a part of the plague.
Hunter Smith and the Dead Men off of their newly cut CD track, number 2. And if you like Hunter Smith and the Dead Men, you've got a chance to get a free CD. The first 2 people to email me right now at production@WendyEdwards.com will get a free CD from Hunter Smith and the Dead Men. This is really exciting. There's so many giveaways today. And coming up, we've got Carrie Oliva coming in from BuyCarrie.com with some interesting tips on how you can make your home absolutely adorable and spend hardly anything. She's coming up with that, and I think she's got a giveaway to share with us as well. Coming up on WendyEdwards.com.
You're listening to Wendy's Podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
And we're back to talk about how important it is to have a home that feels like home, which provides comfort, stability, and if your home's in order, then you can work outward from there and improve your life. And I'm here with Carrie Oliva, who makes handmade goods, and she goes under the company name of Buy Carrie on Etsy. And Carrie just has this wonderful quality of making beautiful things out of essentially nothing. I mean, it's not that the goods that you find aren't valuable. It's just that when people normally see them in a store, or they're walking by, you know, that trunk in the middle of a Goodwill or something, they might overlook it, whereas you'll stop and look at that and see its potential. And so that's what I'd like to talk about with you. And welcome, Carrie Oliva.
Thanks,
to the Wendy,
Wendy
Edwards Show. Something that is important for me to people to know is that they can really make it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I was once in a situation where I was out of my house and suddenly in a shell of a home with like no furniture and really on a part-time income and wasn't sure how I was going to go about getting myself back on track. I mean, I had a couple of pieces of furniture, but there was like nothing there.
Right.
And so I had to learn the hard way that there were things like FreeCycle and Craigslist, and kind of put some pride away and go to Goodwill or go to Salvation Army and pick up things. But I learned along the way.
Sure.
And something that I noticed with your work is that you just have this talent, this knack for seeing something beautiful in something that most of us would just overlook.
Yeah, well, I can't say I have the exact same situation as you, but I definitely was in a position of wanting to snazz up my house, I guess, on a low budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know, I just kind of threw my, some of the things that I've done with Buy Carry. I just love shopping for old things and making them new again. And I have a lot of friends who love to do the same thing. So, you know, just through going to antique stores or like anything where I can find something and repurpose it is something that I enjoy doing. So, you know, that's what happened. I was like, you know, I really need to fill this living room and I'm on a tight budget. So, hey, why not stop at Salvation Army and see what's going on over there today? And a lot of the things that I've done, you know, good things with have come from places like that. So Salvation Army, Sal's right down the street from my house, is one of my favorites.
Yeah. And I can't say that how much Goodwill has helped me as well. And like I said, FreeCycle, I have gone online and used FreeCycle.org. I can't tell you how many times, to get everything from my child's bed to like accessories for my kitchen table. Exactly. And they're all free and they're just for people trading out things that they don't need anymore that are still in, you know, of good use. They just decided they had different taste.
Exactly. I'm not as familiar with FreeCycle, but I'm going to check it out. I know of it. I had no idea how extensive that site is. It's worldwide.
It is worldwide, but you know, you can join a community that's here in Charlottesville and then connect with people through what they set up as Yahoo groups. Mm-hmm. And you get a list every day, a downloaded list of what's available that you can trade. Usually there's kind of an unspoken rule in that, you know, you give and you get. So
Right. You
put up things that you're willing to let go of for someone else to pick up for free. And then you pick up from other people.
Exactly. I'm going to check it out this afternoon.
All right. In the meantime, I'd love to hear some of the finds that you've had and where you found them and what you've done with them. So let's start off, you know, tell us where you shop.
Okay. For furniture, you mean, specifically? Yeah.
Sure. Furniture, decoration.
Sure. I guess, like I started to say, one of my favorite first stops is Salvation Army. I mean, seriously, it's right down the street. I'm always going to find something. Maybe it's not something I always need, but you know, for the price, I'm always like, hey, that works. So I recently got a really cool lamp there. I was just needing something for my living room, and it was the exact right color for what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
A little artsy, a little paint chipped off. I thought, you know, I could fix that. And then when I got it home, I was like, I'm not even going to touch it. It just kind of works. So I'm really proud of that find. I think I spent $4 on it.
Wow.
Good deal, right?
Very good deal.
Awesome. I also got a sideboard at Salvation Army for, I think, $20 that was definitely in need of some work, I will say.
What did it look like when you found it?
It needed a whole new, it needed new knobs, but structure-wise, it was pretty good. It needed to be refinished, so that was kind of a big, you know, additional piece to make it worthy. But I have friends that can help out with that, and so that's what happened. I realized this was really... the shell was in good shape. You know, that's definitely something I look for, something that's got potential. If it's a little too rickety, a little too much work.
Like structurally?
Structurally, you know, you need a good foundation. So, but that piece definitely had it, and it did not look pretty. I think I saw several people walking by with their noses up in the air, but I was like, you know what? That has potential. So $20 later, it was in the back of my car. Actually, I take it back. I had to get some help in a truck. I think we tried to put it in the back of my car. It didn't really work. And then I got some friends to help refinish it, got some new poles, and it is now my TV kind of console, and it's been great.
That's fantastic. So, and yeah. does it cost very much to get the extra things like accessories, like handles? For where do you go to pick up those poles and the refinishing supplies? You just go to the local hardware store?
Definitely. Yep. Meadowbrook, go anywhere. I could have done it myself, honestly. It was one of those things that I didn't have a lot of experience doing refinishing of wood, and I had a good friend that could do it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to hit him up. And I think we even did a little bit of bartering for that. The poles, I think I went to Lowe's, you know, spent very little money and, you know, probably, I don't know, $35 total, all told, into that piece, and it's just been great.
So. And it's something that in a store, like if you went to a furniture store to buy it new, probably would have cost a lot more. Or if you found it in an antique shop.
Of course, $300, $400, $500. So.
And that's something that I find, too, is that there are so many pieces that should be in an antique shop. I had grandparents who sold antiques and went to flea markets like my entire life. And there are pieces that you can see really don't belong in the middle of a store like the Salvation Army or the Goodwill. And you bring it home and it is just, it shines.
Exactly. The same thing with my, I guess, dining room table. I did get that at Circa. So I did spend a little bit more for that.
Circa is an antique store, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'd say it's actually kind of a unique antique store. I mean, they don't have just antiques. They have a lot of stuff. I mean, smaller items. You can buy old postcards there, old frames. That's another thing I love to go hunting for my photography. I love to recycle frames. Mm-hmm. So all my recent work is all in recycled frames, which has been great. But yeah, my dining room table I got from Circa, I just love it. Again, same concept. It had a little, it was just a great base. It needed a little bit of tightening up on the legs, but the finish was great. It did not come with, what are those things called? The sleeves? Not the sleeves. The leaves.
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 Yeah. The little pieces that you put in the middle of the table when you want it to be bigger, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I still need to get some leaves made, but it's a great little table. I've had it for, you know, 7+ years and it's still going strong.
Wow. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So something else I wanted to ask you about is, you know, is it hard for you? Are you single?
Yeah.
And is it difficult for you, you know, on a single income to, you know, get by, I guess. I mean, I know what it's like to do on a part-time income and you're full-time, right?
That's right. Yep.
And it's still something that helps you to go shop at these places.
It definitely does. And I think it has a lot to do with kind of where I, you know, my priorities. I mean, I'd much rather spend $20 on a piece of furniture that I can fix up and it suits me just enough and, you know, use that other whatever income I can get to do something more fun, like, you know, go on a trip or do something. But yeah, I think that it's something that I feel like you really don't have to spend a lot of money on to find something really cool. And if you're willing to put in a little sweat and, you know, hard work, I think you can really make it work for you. So I would encourage anybody to go antiquing or, you know, Goodwill as well. They sometimes have some pretty good finds, too, furniture wise.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Do you find that when you go to Goodwill or Salvation Army, you have something in mind that you want to get? Because I find when I walk in one of those stores, sometimes I get overwhelmed with, like, there's so much material there. And you could, you know, I could say it's clutter, but it's not.
Right.
It's just, you know, that they have so much to give that it's just kind of everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't go there with a purpose, like if I don't say, okay, I need a living room chair and we're looking for a living room chair, I will just get overwhelmed and leave with nothing.
Sure. Yeah. I usually try really hard to go with a purpose, but of course I'll walk out of there with five things.
No so we're question. A little opposite because I get intimidated by shopping like that. And if I don't find what I'm looking for, then I try not to look at other things because I'm there for that.
You know. I wish I could be you.
Well, I wish I could be you. I think I'd come away with a lot of really cool things.
Sure.
Just looking at the pictures that you've shared with me of the lamp and the credenza and the dresser that you put together. I mean, I'm in awe. I'm inspired. I want to go out and get something today.
Awesome.
All right. So when you go to these stores, what kind of quality are you looking for? I mean, you kind of explained that they need to have a good foundation, a good structure.
Sure.
But I mean, I think it's difficult to just look at something and know, oh, that'll look really good in my living room.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hard one. And especially if you don't have any knowledge of, you know, how furniture in general. But, you know, there's some basic things you can, you know, make sure you touch it. Don't be scared to touch it, especially at a place like Salvation Army or Goodwill. Nobody's going to come over and slap your hand. You know, just feel it, like rock it, you know, see whatever you can do to kind of decide, is this thing going to fall apart like the moment we try to put it in my car, or is it, you know, solid?
So does it function well?
Yeah.
When you pull the drawers, are they squeaking, getting stuck?
Exactly. Just, okay. You know, go in there, like, you know, obviously be careful. You don't want to have to break it so you have to buy it kind of deal. But, you know, move it around carefully, open the drawers, do, you know, use it as if you were using it in your home and make sure that it's not going to fall apart right then and there.
Do you tend to buy things like you just said, right then and there, or do you go home and think about it?
Good question. I usually am one of those more impulsive type of shoppers. And I think it kind of works out okay when you're spending 10, 20 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I go with my gut for real. I mean, if it's something right away, even if it's not quite the right color, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I love painting things. So if it's, that's another thing I would recommend for people to just keep an open mind when you're out there. Maybe it's not quite the right, you know, color, quite the right finish in general, but you know, again, if you're willing to do a little work, you get some sandpaper and some paint at Lowe's, you know, you can totally change the look. So I think it's important to keep an open mind when you're going shopping for those types of things. And yeah, sometimes I'll think about it, but not usually.
Well, I always think about it because I'm conscious of how I spend money. So, you know, and there have been times I've kicked myself for not picking something up. Like I've gone in, I've seen something I really, really like, but I'm thinking, how is it going to fit in my space?
Right.
And I am so nervous that I will go home and draw my space and draw that item in the space on a piece of paper. And if it fits, I'll go back to get it. And if it's not there, I get lost. I get so sad.
Yeah, that's happened to me. I think that's probably why I say that. I've learned the hard way. I've been like, gosh, I think that's going to work just right. But let me go home, make sure, measure one more time, and I come back and it's gone. So
yeah, it's a bummer too.
It is. I hate when that happens.
Totally. When you go into these stores and you come out with something, how does it make you feel?
Oh, I definitely get a shopper's high. It's really great when you actually have something in mind that you're looking for and you get to this place and you find the perfect thing, you know, even if it's not absolutely perfect, but if it's near, you know, anything that you've been kind of thinking about, it's great. I mean, I pat myself on the back a lot with those types of things because it's great to spend little money and come away with something that really feels like it's going to be a great fit. So,
and especially something that fits you. And that's something I wanted to kind of move into is how much this type of shopping can affect your home life and your, I guess, your outlook on your life. Because when I found really good deals and I put something in my house that I picked out, that I brought home, that I fixed up, and I look at that piece as I just, you know, walk by to go to the kitchen, I'm proud of that piece and I start feeling good about myself and the things that I can do.
That's why I responded to you, Wendy. I was like, I want to share this because it really, it just gets me excited and I, you know, want to encourage other people to be able to do the same thing. It's really not that hard.
No, and it makes you feel like, you know, kind of invincible with furniture after
That's
a while.
Right. That's right. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. So go for it.
I must point out that you have a very artistic side to you that some people may not have. So, you know, you go into a store, you get a piece of furniture or a lamp or a framed picture and you bring it home and it just doesn't work. What do you do with it?
Well, I mean, personally, that doesn't happen too often to me, but I have a lot of friends that I can connect with and sort of confer with. So if I'm not having the vision that day for it, I definitely will talk to some of my girlfriends and say, hey, what do you see? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've even just given it to them because they have this whole other vision and they're like, oh my gosh, I can see this turning into that. I'm like, well, go for it. Here you go. You know?
So it fits their house better than yours.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's also kind of the fun part of doing this. If you're, you know, not spending too much money, there's a lot of, you can kind of barter around or give back away even, you know, if it doesn't quite work, I would encourage you to, you know, keep on looking and maybe put it back out there. You can take it right back to Goodwill.
Well, that, yeah. Or there are barter networks like, I know there's one in Scottsville and you said you think there's one in Charlottesville.
Yeah, correct? There's definitely one in Charlottesville. I haven't tapped into it personally, but I know it exists. So I do a lot of bartering in general with friends of mine because I can, which makes me feel really excited and lucky.
Yeah. And in that, if you don't have, you know, some money to trade for furniture and you do have time you can trade or a gift or a craft that you could trade, or a service, then that can work out too. Is there a time that you've used something that you do to get, you know, a piece of furniture or decoration for your home?
Definitely. I think I've done like a logo or business cards or something for someone and gotten a really nice gift for a relative for a holiday. So I can think of one example there. There's also, I just remember, there's a barter tab or click or whatever system you can tap into from Craigslist as well. Craigslist.org.
For this area?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to look. All right. So you said you traded business cards and I want to get into your design aspect or your design and creativity, because that really stands out. And that's what you and I met.
That's right.
Front, where that's how you and I met, is that, you know, I was tipped off that there's this really creative girl in Charlottesville. You need to talk to her, and we need to do a story. We need to do a story on her. And so I wrote for Homestyle Magazine a year ago or 2 years ago.
I think it's been 2 years ago this February.
Yeah. And we featured your work.
Yeah. Valentine's Day.
And, you know, part of why I asked you here wasn't just because of the furniture. I have to say, I love your work and I want people to know about it.
Thanks, Wendy. Yeah, I brought some cards with me, in fact, just to show off. I've got a little Valentine pack and a little single card that I'd be excited to share with some listeners.
I see that. The first one looks very romantic. It's a trip to Paris, is it?
Mm, if only there were a ticket inside.
I know. And then the other bundle is some flowers. Tell me how you did that.
Yeah, I do like these floral silhouettes, essentially. So, you know, they're like a white kind of silhouette of a flower on a color background. So they're really colorful and kind of fun and cheery. So
yeah, they're very pretty. Yep. Now, if somebody didn't want to use them to send out Valentine cards, like me, I would more want to frame that.
Actually, that's a good point, Wendy. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do also make all of these as prints, typically either an 8.5 by 11 print, or I get a lot of custom requests from people to do larger prints. And mm-hmm. I do that all the time. So and any, you know, people say, hey, I love that one, but I'd love it in like a little bit more teal green. Can you do that? And I'm like, sure. So
do you supply frames too, or do you mainly just do the prints?
I mainly just do the prints. I can and have done framing for people. That's another concept I think people don't always feel like they have the right knack or eye for it. Mm-hmm. And they'll see some of the things I've done and say, hey, I'd love for you to do that. So I can do it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your best sellers?
I'd say some of my marble products, because that's another thing I love to do. I create custom coasters, magnets, and trivets, so I can take any image at all. And that's, I think, what people love about it. You know, I'll do a lot of different types of, you know, old photographs or people's dogs, or you never know what people are going to come up with. Mm-hmm. And I can actually make it work on the marble. So you can get a custom set of coasters with like your face on them if you want,
mm-hmm.
or your business information, or mm-hmm. I do work with some wineries locally as well. So I'm trying to do a little bit more of that with their labels.
Okay. And then you also have a romantic side, which is something I pointed out last Valentine's Day, in that you make these beautiful cards with found objects. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I definitely use that as sort of my foray into what I'm going to be doing, because or sometimes I'll actually use the found object on, say, the marble, for example.
Okay.
But usually it's just more of a way to get inspired, you know, to actually create whatever that might be. So, yeah, to me, being outside is really important, and just being able to breathe in the natural air and see kind of what you're going to find. But I'm very inspired by nature and flowers and just seeing what you can see out there.
And some of your work has been purchased by UVA, correct?
That's true. Yeah. I've done a lot of different things for UVA. I love old photographs, and I got interested in doing alternative things with photography when I took a class, gosh, long time ago. And I started working with Polaroids. So I do some things called Polaroid transfers and Polaroid manipulations. And I did a really cool one of the Rotunda that's something I've been doing over and over, actually, on the marble as well as cards and framed prints. So it's been great.
And that specific image was featured on an invitation from UVA at one point?
Yes, it was. Okay. Yep.
And what was that for? I don't remember.
It was actually for graduation.
Okay.
Yeah, so
pretty fantastic. Carrie, I want to thank you for coming in and talking with me today. And hopefully we've inspired some people to just go for it and start decorating their homes, no matter what their budget.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks for having me.
You know, I need a name for my podcast. I've gone over it and over it, and I've thought of The Wendy Show, and a couple of friends have come up with some names, but nothing's really clicking for me. And it could be that I come back to just The Wendy Edwards Show, but I don't know. I want your input. If you could find me on Twitter at WendyTime, tell me what you want The Wendy Show to be called, and I'll consider it, and I might even put a poll up where everybody can vote. But go to Twitter, WendyTime, find me there, and tell me what to name my podcast. All right, we're going to give away two CDs for Hunter Smith and the Dead Men. And right now you get a taste of them on WendyEdwards.com. We're going to close out the show with Hunter Smith and the Dead Men. Here's the bonus track on their new CD on WendyEdwards.com. coming up on my next podcast.
Do you dislike Valentine's Day? Do you blame it on the candy and card making industries? Is it because you are single or with someone who is unfit for you? Wendy's post-Valentine's Day podcast takes on the Valentine's Day blues.
Millions of Americans get sucked into the concept that there'll be total losers if they didn't get or give something for Valentine's Day.
Treat yourself to a good time. Tuesday, February 15th. Join Wendy on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
With music featured by Misty Lynn and The Big Beautiful. This show would not be possible without the help of God, OTB Podcast, and the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Podcast yourself at OTBpodcast.com.